What if I told you the CAPTCHA you just, solved to access your company portal wasn't keeping hackers out? It was actually deployed by the hackers to lock your enterprise security software out.
It's wild, right? It completely flips our whole understanding of defensive friction on its head.
It really does. And that is exactly what we are looking at today. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Glad to be here.
So our mission for this session is, frankly, crucial. We are analyzing three critical breaking cybersecurity stories, and we've sourced these from recent threat intelligence reports from Crestral, AltIntel, the Vega Research Team, Microsoft, and Kaspersky.
Yeah, and as we dig into the data across all these reports, a very clear, very deliberate pattern emerges.
Right. There's a definite narrative through line here. We're looking at how modern threat actors are systematically hijacking the systems we inherently trust.
Exactly. And they are doing it across the entire technology stack.
So we're going to track this from the bare metal up. We'll start with how they are compromising underlying server infrastructure, then move into how they exploit internal enterprise applications, and finally, look at how they are weaponizing our most trusted human communication channels.
Which is why this is incredibly relevant for you listening right now. I mean, whether you are a network admin managing fleets of servers or just an employee dealing with an overflowing inbox, understanding the mechanics of these specific tactics is vital.
Because the traditional layers of defense, right, the firewalls, the email filters, the multi-factor authentication prompts, they're just being bypassed in incredibly counterintuitive
It's
ways,
totally
right?
bypassed, yeah.
So let's start at the foundation, the infrastructure level. Our first story comes from a cheater old Intel. We're looking at CVE-2026-4940.
Right, and we aren't just looking at a minor glitch here.
No, not at all.
It's a critical authentication bypass in cPanel and Web Host Manager, or WHM.
And for anyone managing infrastructure, you know that cPanel is essentially the administrative heart of the server. I mean, this vulnerability gives attackers instant elevated control over the server environment,
Yeah, it completely sidesteps the login screen.
which is terrifying. And the targeting here is highly specific, isn't it?
Deeply concerning, honestly. A previously unknown threat actor operating from a very distinct IP infrastructure is aggressively going after government and military domains in Southeast Asia.
Okay, so who exactly are they hitting?
Specifically, we are seeing activity aimed at Philippine military domains, the .mil.fiem addresses and also Laotian government domains.
Wow, but the targeting didn't stop in Southeast Asia, right?
Oh, it didn't.
They're also actively hitting managed service providers or MSPs and hosting providers in the US, Canada, and South Africa.
And the blast radius here is what makes this critical.
Right, because by hitting an MSP, they aren't just getting one target. They are getting the keys to the entire downstream kingdom.
That's the supply chain multiplier. I mean, once you control the management panel, the hosting provider, you effectively control every single client hosted under their umbrella.
It's massive. But the part of this Kiprol-AltIntel report that absolutely blew my mind was a prior attack by this same actor on an Indonesian defense sector training portal.
Oh, yeah, the Seketi-CHA bypass. That was brilliant.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
The attacker already had valid credentials, but the
Yeah.
portal had a CAPTCHA. And the way they bypassed it, they didn't use an AI to solve the visual puzzle.
Oh, they took the easy route.
They simply read the expected value directly out of the server-issued session cookie. I mean, that is exactly like a student bypassing a test by stealing the teacher's answer key right off their desk.
It really is. It's an elegant exploitation of a fundamental architectural flaw. Let's look at the mechanics of why that actually
Yeah,
works.
please break that down.
So a session cookie is supposed to be a temporary encrypted ID badge, right? It tells the server who you are so you don't have to authenticate on every single page click.
Makes sense.
But state management, keeping track of what a user is doing on the server side takes computing resources. So developers sometimes take a shortcut.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they offload the state to the client browser. In this case, the developers embedded the plain text solution to the CAPTCHA directly into the cookie sent to the user.
So the attacker just wrote a simple script to extract that plain text answer from their own cookie
Exactly.
and just feed it right back in the POST request.
Spot on. The application effectively handed them the key to its own lock.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they bypass the CAPTCHA, move to a document management function, and find a vulnerable parameter used to save document names.
Right.
They inject SQL right into that field, leading to remote code execution. But the initial compromise is just them walking through the door.
Exactly. What they do next is how they build the fortress from the inside.
Right. They deploy the Adaptic C2 command and control framework to remotely commandeer the endpoint. But an endpoint can be rebooted, right? Yeah. An IP can be blocked. So they built what Kroll Alt Intel calls a durable access layer to guarantee their persistence.
They used OpenVPN, a tool called Ligolo, and embedded themselves using Systemd.
Help us understand how this practically works for the attacker. I mean, why Ligolo over a traditional reverse shell?
Well, a standard reverse shell is noisy and fragile. Ligolo is an advanced tunneling tool written in Go.
Okay.
Instead of just giving the attacker a command line prompt, Ligolo creates a robust, encrypted network tunnel. It effectively acts like a network switch inside the compromised box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This allows the attacker to seamlessly route their own local heavy-duty hacking tools through the compromise server, scanning and attacking the internal network as if their laptop was physically plugged into the data center switch.
That is wild. And they combine that with Systemd persistence.
Yeah, which is very clever.
For the Linux admins listening, you know, Systemd is the very first process that boots up PID1. It manages all other services.
Right.
So by embedding their backdoor into Systemd, the attacker weaves their malware into the server's core DNA.
Precisely. Every time the server restarts or an admin tries to kill the rogue process, Systemd just obediently resurrects the malware.
That's terrifying. And they use this ironclad access to exfiltrate a massive corpus of Chinese railway sector documents.
And that targeted espionage was really just the beginning. I mean, the moment this cPanel vulnerability was publicly disclosed, the floodgates opened for mass exploitation.
Right. Within 24 hours of disclosure, Sensi's observed multiple third parties weaponizing the exact same flaw.
It happened so fast.
We saw threat actors deploying Mirai botnet variants to turn these servers into a zombie army for distributed denial of service attacks.
With ransomware, too.
Yeah, a new ransomware strain called Sorry being dropped on these boxes.
The telemetry data is just staggering. The Shadow Server Foundation reported that by April 30th, they saw 44,000 compromised IP addresses actively scanning and brute forcing their honeypots.
44,000 servers weaponized in days. That is insane.
Now, by May 3rd, that number dropped to 3,540.
Okay, so quite a drop. What does that mean?
Well, that drop suggests two things. Either automated remediation and patching are catching up, or the attackers realize the vulnerability is burning out and are moving their compromised infrastructure into deeper hiding.
Probably a bit of both.
Yeah. Either way, the practical takeaway for you is urgent. If you are running cPanel, the grace period is over. Apply the patches immediately and run the newly updated cPanel detection script to actively hunt for indicators of compromise and clean your environment.
Okay, so that is the infrastructure layer. Attackers are hijacking the outward-facing foundation.
Right.
But once an attacker secures that durable foothold in the server, they aren't just sitting there. They immediately look for internal software with high privileges to move laterally.
Which brings us to our second story, shifting to the application layer.
Yes. We are looking at a critical vulnerability in Weaver Ecology, tracked as CVE-2026-22679.
This is an enterprise office automation and collaboration platform heavily utilized in corporate environments, particularly in China.
And this flaw carries a CVSS score of 9.8 out of 10. It is an unauthenticated remote code execution vulnerability.
A nightmare scenario.
But I have to stop here and push back on the nature of this flaw, because the specific endpoint they exploited was a path ending in Dubbo-APA debug method.
Yeah, that's the one.
Wait, Dubbo is a high-performance framework used for remote procedure calls. Why on earth did they expose a debug API to unauthenticated users on the public internet?
I know, it sounds crazy.
That's like leaving the bank's architectural blueprints and a master key taped to the front door. Why would enterprise-grade software be shipped this way?
Well, it's the oldest tension in DevOps. It really comes down to the immense pressure of modern CI/CD, you know, continuous integration and continuous deployment pipelines.
Okay, go on.
When engineers are building or troubleshooting complex platforms like Weaver Ecology, they need debug endpoints. It allows them to quickly test how the application handles various inputs without having to authenticate every single time. The intention is to strip these out or lock them behind strict authentication before the software goes into a production environment.
But they leave the back door propped open, so they don't have to scan their badge every 5 minutes while building the app.
Right.
And they just forget to lock it when they ship.
That is exactly what happens. It's an oversight born of developer convenience, and threat actors systematically hunt for these forgotten endpoints.
Unbelievable.
According to the National Vulnerability Database, attackers can reach this exposed debug interface and craft specific POST requests.
Okay.
By manipulating the interface name and method name parameters, they can trick the application's command execution helpers. This effectively allows them to run arbitrary commands directly on the underlying operating system as if they were an administrator.
Completely bypassing all standard security checks.
Exactly.
And the Vega research team provided a timeline that shows just how fast attackers weaponize these oversights. Patches for this Weaver flaw were shipped on March 12th.
Right.
The earliest evidence of active in the wild exploitation began around March 17th.
5 days. I mean, that completely destroys the old school mentality of patching on a monthly cycle.
It really does. Mm. Vega also gave us a fascinating look at the trial and error reality of hacking. Intrusions unfolded over about a week of operator activity.
Yeah, it wasn't just a one-click success.
Right. They saw the attackers verifying the remote code execution. Then they attempted 3 failed payload drops, tried to pivot to an MSI implant that failed to install, and finally made short bursts of attempts to retrieve PowerShell payloads from their own infrastructure.
It's like watching a burglar try different lockpicks until they find the one that turns.
Exactly. But what really stood out to me was the camouflage they used once they got the payload to execute.
Oh, the psychological manipulation of the SOC analyst.
Yes. They named their malicious MSI installer Fanwei0324.msi. And Fanwei is the romanized Chinese name for the Weaver software itself. So imagine you are a security analyst staring at a dashboard of running processes all day. Alert fatigue is a real thing.
Very real.
If you see a file named after the very native software that is supposed to be running on that server, your brain naturally filters it out. It blends right in.
Yeah, you just assume it's supposed to be there.
Meanwhile, the threat actor is running discovery commands in the background, WMI, ipconfig, task list, quietly mapping out the internal network while disguised as a legitimate administrative process.
If you want to hide in plain sight, you wear the uniform of the environment.
Exactly.
For anyone managing Weaver ecology instances, you have to apply these vendor updates today. Furthermore, security researcher Karim Oreck has provided a Python-based detection script.
Right, that's super helpful.
It proactively checks if that susceptible debug API endpoint is accessible on your system. Run that script to verify your exposure before an attacker does.
Definitely. So we've seen how threat actors dismantle trust at the foundational infrastructure level and how they camouflage themselves to exploit our trust in the internal applications we use.
Yeah.
But let's take this to the final layer. What happens when attackers bypass software entirely and hijack the ultimate form of trust?
You mean human psychology and legitimate communication infrastructure?
Exactly.
This brings us to our third story.
This is where we see attackers camouflaging themselves not as native files, but as your own HR department, and they are using the world's most trusted internet backbones to deliver the attack.
Right. Our third story comes from Microsoft, detailing a massive credential theft campaign they hit in mid-April. And the scale is just wild.
It's huge.
They targeted over 35,000 users across more than 13,000 organizations in 26 countries.
And mostly in the U.S., right?
Yeah, 92% of these targets were in the U.S., with a heavy focus on the healthcare, finance, professional services, and technology sectors.
And the lures they used, they completely abandoned the old playbook of poorly spelled emails promising lottery winnings. Right, none of that.
They heavily leveraged psychological pressure. They used code of conduct-themed lures.
The display names were crafted to induce immediate panic. Things like internal regulatory COC or team conduct report.
Yeah, that gets your attention.
And the subject lines warned the user about non-compliance case logs. Microsoft noted that the emails used incredibly polished enterprise-style HTML templates.
They look completely legitimate.
But the most devious part was the inclusion of preemptive authenticity statements at the top of the message.
Oh, I hate that.
The email explicitly claimed it was issued through an authorized internal channel, and that the links were reviewed and approved for secure access.
It is brilliant manipulation. They are anticipating the user's natural skepticism and actively disarming it before the user even reads the body of the email.
Right.
And because the messages contained accusations of HR violations and demanded time-bound action, they created a severe sense of urgency. When an employee is panicked about a potential career-ending violation, their critical thinking skills plummet.
But the mechanics of the attack chain contain the most incredible irony of this entire deep dive.
The KPCHA.
Yes. In the first story, we talked about attackers bypassing a KPTCH on an Indonesian portal.
Yeah.
In this Microsoft campaign, the attackers are doing the exact opposite.
They are forcing the victims to solve a KPTCH before they can even reach the fake sign-in page.
Wait, why would an attacker purposely put friction in front of a victim they're trying to trick?
Because of the KPTCH paradox, the attackers aren't trying to keep the human out. They're using the KPTCHA to keep your enterprise automated security scanners out.
Let's break that down mechanically for the listeners.
Okay, so when a suspicious email hits your corporate inbox, automated security tools like secure email gateways scan the links.
Right.
They follow those links and analyze the destination page for malicious code or fake login forms. But if the attacker inserts a KPTCHA in the middle of that redirect chain, the automated scanner hits a brat wall.
Because a bot cannot solve the visual puzzle.
Exactly. Because the scanner can't see the malicious payload on the other side, it assumes the link is just a standard protected web page and marks it as benign.
Wow.
The attacker is weaponizing our own defensive concepts against us to guarantee delivery.
So the automated scanner gives it a green light. The panicked human victim solves the KPTCHA, proves they are human, and then gets served the adversary in the middle or ATM phishing page.
And this is crucial for listeners to understand. This isn't just a fake web page recording your password.
Right.
No, it is a live reverse proxy. The attacker server sits in the middle, relaying the real Microsoft login page to the user. When the user enters their password, the attacker intercepts it.
What about MFA?
That's the scariest part. When Microsoft prompts the user for their multi-factor authentication code, the user enters it and the real Microsoft server grants access and issues a valid session token.
And the attacker just grabs that.
And the attacker intercepts that session token in real time.
Bypassing MSA entirely because they stole the cryptographic proof that MFA was already solved.
Yeah, exactly.
And this isn't the only way they are evading detection. Microsoft also highlighted a massive 146% surge in QR code phishing between January and March.
18.7 million attacks.
Yeah. And the mechanics of a QR code attack are fundamentally about shifting the battleground.
Exactly. You can't just hover over a QR code to check the destination URL like you can with a traditional hyperlink.
Right. They are like a digital black box.
When an attacker embeds a QR code into the body of an email, they are forcing the user to pull out their personal mobile phone.
And scan it.
You scan it and you move the attack from a heavily monitored, protected corporate desktop environment onto an unmanaged, unprotected personal device operating on a cellular network.
It completely blinds the corporate security team.
Totally blinds them. But to really understand how these massive phishing blasts, whether they use KPTCHAs or QR codes, are actually reaching user inboxes without getting immediately flagged as spam, we have to synthesize the final piece of the puzzle.
Right, from Kaspersky's recent data.
Yeah, the infrastructure abuse.
Kaspersky found that attackers are heavily stealing AWS access keys. But they aren't necessarily using them to steal data from Amazon servers.
No.
They're using those keys to hijack Amazon Simple Email Service, or Amazon SES. But wait, if they're sending these phishing emails through Amazon SES, wouldn't standard email authentication protocols like SPF or DAKM just give them a free pass? Because the emails are genuinely coming from Amazon's IP addresses.
Yes, that is the fatal flaw in how we do email filtering today.
Oh, man.
Protocols like SPF Sender Policy Framework and DKIM Domain Keys Identified Pale are cryptographic mechanisms designed to verify that an email actually originated from the server it claims to be from.
Right, they check the origin.
But because the attackers are using an AWS key, they are legitimately signing their malicious emails with Amazon's cryptographic keys. The emails pass all SPF, DKIM, and DMRC checks perfectly.
They originate from highly trusted, reputable IP addresses that aren't on any threat intelligence block lists.
As Kaspersky noted, attackers are completely avoiding the effort of building dubious domains from scratch. They are simply leveraging infrastructure that both users and security systems have already been trained to implicitly trust.
And the underground ecosystem supporting this is incredibly resilient. I mean, Microsoft noted that the operators of the Tycoon 2FA platform, which is a massive phishing as a service operation, were disrupted back in March.
Right.
They had been using Cloudflare to shield their infrastructure.
Right.
But almost immediately upon disruption, they simply shifted their hosting to a variety of alternative platforms to maintain their anti-analysis protections.
They operate like agile, legitimate software businesses, constantly updating their evasion tactics to stay ahead of defenders.
The practical impact for you listening is profound.
Mm-hmm.
Implicit trust in an email's origin is fundamentally broken.
Completely broken.
Just because an email passes SBF and DKIM checks, just because the display name says it's from HR, and even if you have multi-factor authentication enabled on your account, you are still highly vulnerable to these adversary-in-the-middle attacks if you engage with the payload.
Trust must be continuously verified at the user level, not blindly assumed by the system.
It requires a paradigm shift in how we approach security training. We can't just rely on hovering over links anymore.
No, those days are over.
So let's pull all of this together. We've been on quite a journey on this deep dive.
We really have.
We've seen how threat actors are systematically dismantling our digital trust from the bottom up. At the bare metal infrastructure level, they are exploiting foundational software like cPanel, utilizing tools like Ligolo and System to weave durable, hidden access layers deep into the server's core.
Right.
At the application layer, they're exploiting the forgotten realities of DevOps, hijacking debug APIs and tools like Weaver Ecology, and camouflaging their malware to blend into the native environment.
Which is just terrifying.
And finally, at the human and communication level, they are hijacking trusted Amazon cryptographic signatures
mm-hmm.
and using CAPTCHAs to blind our enterprise security scanners while they steal our session tokens.
Which leaves us with a critical and frankly unsettling question based on everything we've analyzed today.
What's that?
Well, we've seen attackers weaponizing CAPTCHAs to block our automated security bots and successfully leveraging Amazon's trusted infrastructure to bypass our email filtering rules.
Oh, right.
If the bad guys are successfully weaponizing the very tools and trusted infrastructures we built to protect ourselves, are we approaching a horizon where our automated security solutions are actually our biggest blind spot?
Wow.
Will the future of cybersecurity require us to actively unautomate whom and what we trust?
That is a fascinating point. It really makes you look differently at how we grant access across our organizations. I mean, if the very mechanisms designed to verify identity are being used to spoof it, the concept of a perimeter isn't just dead, it's actively working against us.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, stay secure, and we'll see you next time.